Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text chosen for this evening is written in the 14th chapter of Mark, beginning at the 60th verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. And the high priest stood in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?" But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him, saying, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus said, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the officers struck him with the palm of their hands. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear Lenten worshipers of our suffering Savior, this month marks the anniversary of the 30th birthday of the World Wide Web. Tim Berners-Lee is credited with developing programs like HTTP, which was able to bring many different types of brands of computers together so that they could talk to one another. And he invented a number of other things in order that we have the web today. 30 years ago, people hoped that the web would bring people together throughout the whole world, would give people access to good information, would create new ideas, and that the arts would flourish. After 30 years, Tim recently said, "The web is not the web we wanted in every respect." We should not be surprised that the web is so filled with violence and hateful words, with pornographic photos and videos, with anti-Christian ideas and lifestyles, and with hackers who steal information. The freedom that the web promised is also freedom to violate God's laws. And we're still living with people who have an old evil nature, and that will prompt them to do things that they normally wouldn't do in a polite society, even if they're not Christian. Just as unbound freedom corrupts a society, so freedom in authority and power corrupts those who are rulers. Lord Acton declared, "Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." This aphorism has been proven to be true both in history, among rulers and governments, and also in the Christian church. It's not surprising that Caiaphas wanted to keep his power and authority, and so that he would say it's all right to kill somebody. And so tonight, based on our text, we want to look at Caiaphas, the one who judged authority to be more important than Jesus. We see then that Caiaphas used power to condemn an innocent man, but Jesus used his divine power to save the sinners. As high priest, Caiaphas' position was not an easy one. He had to please Pilate in the Senate and the Romans. And yet he had to do so in such a way that he wasn't seen to be cozying up to them so much that the Jews would hate him also. And he was a master at that game. His father-in-law, Annas, had been high priest for about a year when the Romans deposed him. Then after three more high priests, they put Caiaphas in charge, and he was there for at least 10 or more years as high priest. He knew how to manipulate people. Caiaphas showed him more successful in placating the Romans and keeping peace among his own people. And so several months before Jesus was crucified, people came to the Sanhedrin and to Caiaphas and said, and told them about Jesus raising up somebody who had been dead for 4 days, raising him from the tomb. And they were expecting everybody to rejoice at this news. But the Sanhedrin gathered and said, "What are we going to do? If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." Notice what was most important about these leaders, these religious leaders in the Sanhedrin. They would not want to lose their power, nor their authority, or their position. And while they were deliberating, Caiaphas shamed them all by his daring words. You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. With these words, Caiaphas judged that the death of one man was better than the death of many people in a nation. And so if he could stop the Romans from coming in and invading the nation, then what's the death of one man? But St. John wrote that Caiaphas was speaking these words as the high priest that year. The Holy Spirit moved him to say those words because it was God's will and God's plan that one man should die for all people in the world in order to save them. Now, Caiaphas didn't know this. He thought he was simply dealing with an issue having to do with power and getting rid of somebody who was causing trouble. But God had different plans. Judging power and authority as most important and more important than Jesus also happens today. In order to appear reasonable and scientific, many religious leaders have rejected the truth that the Bible is free from errors, or that God created the world, or that Jesus did miracles or rose from the dead. Others have given in to the world on issues like abortion or adultery or homosexuality. They judge that man's approval is greater than their losing power in the church and influence in the world. Now, you and I may not be so powerful as these people, but we also can act as Caiaphas did. The devil can tempt us to lord it over others. He may tempt us to be tyrants at home or to force others to do what we want. Satan can tempt us to be judgmental over the actions of other people, as if we are in charge. Jesus' disciples were tempted to seek power, and that's why they were always arguing about who was going to be the best, who was going to be the greatest and closest to Jesus. In response, Jesus told them, "He who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves." Since Jesus is the head of the church, and we don't need any others, then our vocations as Christians is to be a servant in the home, in our congregations, and in the community. When leaders in the church use power instead of God's word, they are acting like Caiaphas. By contrast, Jesus, the mighty Son of God, who rules over all things, became our servant in order to die for the guilty. In the trial that we heard in our text, which was that evening after Jesus was arrested, Caiaphas was not getting anywhere with the false witnesses. And so finally, there was just one other way that he could find out if he could try and bring some accusation against Jesus in order to get him killed. And so he demanded of Jesus, "Are you Jesus, the Son, Christ, the Son of the living God?" And he added, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." When Jesus answered, "I am," then Caiaphas tore his clothes as a sign of rage, a sign of anger, and said, "This man has committed blasphemy. What do you think? Isn't he worthy of death?" In tearing his clothes and in demanding a sentence at that time, he violated all the rules of jurisprudence that were in place in Jesus' day. But he knew what Jesus would say to his question. He knew that this would be a way of getting him to be crucified. And therefore, he took that way in order to save his power and to prove Jesus guilty. Consider the irony. Caiaphas, the high priest, represented God in the temple. Jesus is God. He had done miracles for the last 3 years, and he's accused of blasphemy, claiming to be God. And Caiaphas knew that the charge was false, but he ignored the evidence of Jesus' miracles, even the one where Lazarus was raised up from the dead, in order to find something worthy to charge Jesus to get his way. Pilate even knew that they brought Jesus to him because of envy, that he was so popular. Now, this is justice, It is a travesty of justice. But though the Sanhedrin condemned Jesus to die, God turned even their evil into good for the rest of the world. God himself judged that one man should die in order that the whole people would not perish. Because Jesus is both true God and true man, he was able to suffer and die as our substitute in our place. He could rescue us from death by being delivered over to death. He who had no sin was given the sins of the whole world. He suffered and died. His blood paid the punishment for our sins so that we could be forgiven. The Bible says God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness Jesus earned on the cross, God gives to us freely by his grace. There, Jesus then served as our substitute. He was our servant in order that we might go to heaven. That is why we are to cling to him and trust in him. He could have asked everybody to bow down before him because he is the ruler of the universe. He is the creator of the universe. But what a blessing it is that Jesus suffered and died for us. What a blessing it is that God gave us faith in Jesus so that he doesn't impute our sins to us, but he gives us the righteousness Jesus won for us. And therefore, God sees us as holy without sin through faith in Jesus. Now, Jesus cared for Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin and all the others who had condemned him to death. He told them, "You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Jesus was warning them about the consequences of their sin against him, that one day the Son of Man will come and judge the world with the power, and that judgment will fall upon those who do not believe in him. That judge will say on the last day, "Depart from me, you wicked, and into eternal death prepared for you for the devil and his angels." On the other hand, Jesus, a judge, will have power and authority to declare to those who believe in him, who trust in him, a whole different type of judgment. For though we are guilty of many sins, Jesus will judge us with these words, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." For St. Paul wrote, "Who can bring a charge against God's elect? It is God Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of the Father, who makes intercession for us." No one can bring a charge against us because our sins have been covered over. God sees them no more. And God gives us eternal life. Judas wanted money more than Jesus. Caiaphas wanted authority more than Jesus. God placed Jesus on the cross to get us free from sin. Jesus has declared to all who believe in him, have everlasting life, have forgiveness. He has used his power to bless us. And may we rejoice in that blessing. May we rejoice that Jesus loved us so much to give his life for us and to give us eternal life. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.